Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast that has been called Magnifico by Skeezy.
Thank you.
Apple Podcasts. If you have a 5-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air. I have to read the rest of this because he wants to put a plug in here. If you want the best lawnmower repair service in Florida, you go to Small Equipment RX. If you want the best podcast about ghost aliens, you listen to Real Life Sci-Fi, smoke a bowl, grab a drink, and join the party. That's apt.
thank you. Appreciate it, Skeezy.
Thanks for the review, Skeezy.
And I hope that I get to use your lawn care one day. Yeah, sorry.
If you want to become a Patreon, just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We get 2 bonus episodes a week, and Skeezy has become a segment on our No Sci-Fi, where he writes us long emails every week. Maybe not every week. Once a month.
Yeah.
So Real Life Sci-Fi, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for that. Why don't we welcome aboard the SS RLSF our guest, our good friend, Morgan Locke. Morgan, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Hello.
What is up, dude?
Not much.
It's just been a while.
It definitely has. It's been quite a while. We're all sort of hiding in our homes these days and stuff and not getting to be social. So it is good, good to see people. Thank you.
It's good to see you. we have a test that we're going to get to, but just in general, are you into conspiracy theories or anything?
Into them? No. Not particularly. I tend to not buy into them for the most part. I think people like them. I understand why people like them.
Yeah, I mean, you just told us you're not on any social media and stuff like that.
It seems
like you're kind of like not anti-internet, but sort of like evasive when it comes to the internet, maybe.
Not evasive. I kind of feel like I hit that age where I just decided I'm going to just stop with the knowledge of technology and advancements or whatever that I was at that point, and just you leave the new stuff for the kids, and so you don't have to you don't try to be that parent that's trying to still be cool on Facebook and stuff. I do have a Facebook.
Those are fighting words for Willie.
No, that's fair. I understand. Definitely. I work with plenty of people that are still all over that stuff, and they love it.
Listen, I know that I'm doing it wrong. Where like you're not supposed to tweet Instagrams, you're not supposed to gram tweets. You know, like I know it's a mesh for me, but just know that like I'm not like trying to figure out other people's shit. You know, like when people always say like, oh, you're always on there. I'm like, I'm always on here posting. I'm not looking at what you're posting. Sure. I mean, I'm not, that doesn't make me any better or anything. I'm just saying that like,
I just mean, we have friends now with children who are like preteens and they're like on TikTok. And then
it's like
sad for me to be on TikTok going like, I need to like grow my TikTok audience when that audience is like fucking children, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I do have Facebook. I won't say I don't have one, but I, you know, got it back in the day. I probably haven't posted anything in 7 years. So it's,
that's the same with me. Like Facebook is a way that like, I never go to it. If an email pops up that someone messaged me, I'll go and check it.
Sure,
but like, totally. That's about it.
Yeah.
The only drawback is now I have no idea when anybody's birthdays are.
Yeah.
That is the number one thing I use it for, I'll be honest.
No, 100%. That's the only thing I used it for the entire time I was on Facebook.
Wow, scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, well, why don't we get to the WOW scale? The WOW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's going to be a measurement between 0 and 5. If you're more of a toward the 0 end, you're more of a Wade. If you're more on the 5 side of the spectrum, you're more of a Willie.
And that's just for the listeners.
Okay, no problem.
It's so that the listeners can get a gauge on how seriously they should take your opinion, because as you know, we all live in echo chambers now, and any opinion that's not the same as your own is completely invalid.
That's fair.
Okay, are you ready to take the WOW scale?
I am ready.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have aliens visited Earth? If so, have the aliens visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Wait, sorry, you lost me. So am I gauging this on a 0 to 5?
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, okay. You just answer however you want, and then I tabulate your scores and give it to you.
You're gauging me. Yeah. Copy. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, one more time. Aliens exist? Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Have they ever visited Earth?
Probably not.
Okay, then your answer for the third, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years, would be...
Wow. It's possible. I'd probably not 300 years, no. Maybe thousands of years ago. I'm willing to accept we're probably could easily be just, you know, alien drop-offs here.
Yeah, the Prometheus theory.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Okay. Willie, any follow-ups?
No, that's cool. I mean,
is that not your opinion?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm all three. I think I could believe in a lot of versions, you know, that we...
Well, what kind of aliens do you believe in, Morgan? Just that they exist out in the cosmos?
Well, yeah, I guess alien is a weird term. There's just other life in the world somewhere. Right. In the universe, there's something living on another planet somewhere. Not the UFOs traveling to Earth stuff. Just probably similar to us doing what they're doing somewhere else.
Well, you know what? This is a weird direction to maybe take this for a later time, but to take an animal... Because they almost say they're not intelligent unless they can use a tool. And so they've seen birds use a tool. So, like, would you consider a bird intelligent?
Who are you asking?
Yeah. I guess everything is intelligent to varying degrees, I think. I mean, I think
they have
a level of intelligence more than... I guess it's intelligent. You're saying intelligence versus instinct versus a worm operates. It does things, you know, I can't do.
Yeah, this is me trying to gauge what this question could evolve into. Because when we say, there's intelligent life out there, I'm like, but some people don't accept the intelligent life here on Earth.
I'm sorry, Willie. The WoW scale is locked. There's no further changes.
So you're saying that other life has like amoeba life and stuff that's just... like life living in bacterial form or something, and you're not considering that intelligent.
Well,
I'd like to think of the term aliens as like humanoids from a different planet, sure. Not necessarily like the whatever things that they found in Jupiter's clouds or whatever.
Right.
That whole thing.
Yeah. I believe there's our same situation easily going on somewhere else. Multifaceted life. Earth type planet off on some other star.
Yeah, I think where there's life flourishes.
Sure.
Question number two. Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't. I really don't.
You're from LA, right?
Yeah.
And were you raised religious in LA?
Not. I was raised strangely religious in that my parents did the Jehovah's Witness thing till I was
God, I didn't know that.
But not at the same time.
Casual version of it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think they were looking for their thing and we ended up there. But as I've grown up and met other Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was like, that was not my experience at all. Like,
did you celebrate Christmas?
Yes and no. That's a huge contended situation at the home right now. I celebrated Christmas, never believed in Santa Claus, never, you know, my parents were like, we give you presents. So I was fine with that.
Right.
So we still did
it. But it wasn't like Savan. You've talked to Savan about it, right? Because he was like a strict Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Where they didn't even have birthdays and shit.
Yeah, they definitely tried to curb the fantastical aspects of things, but we, you know, still got everything. Still no reason to be, you know, feeling like I was deprived as a child.
All right, question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Yes and no. Whatever it may have been probably doesn't exist anymore. I believe there might have been an anomaly for a moment out there that someone caught, you know, the footage and whatnot. But, you know, he's not living thousands of years and still around. Similar to the Loch Ness situation, probably.
I was going
to
ask.
There was something at a moment, but then, you know, it's since died. A leftover dinosaur of some sort.
Dude, I could accept that, and I love that take. I've never heard that on this show.
Really?
Everyone usually laughs at it, or they're all past me.
Yeah, I think that's the only sort of hedging your bets answer to Bigfoot that we've ever had.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, so I guess that the answer to the question is yes. Then yes, I think it did. It did probably exist. Like anything else, you know, has its time and passes on.
Okay, question number 4. Do you believe in psychics?
Yeah, maybe on a minimal scale. I think people may be able to pick up on little things. I think really reading deep, no. And then, like, you know, predicting the future. Like, what is a psychic to you? What is their capabilities?
Well, just anyone who's sort of, like, I guess mediums would be in there. Anyone who can, like, tell you about yourself and be accurate without knowing anything about you, sort of stuff. You know, like, any kind of roadside psychic that you think you could walk into and they could actually give you some sort of insight into your life.
Without judging your clothes, you know? Like, yeah, well, he's got a collared shirt.
Yeah, I'd say no. I mean, I think there's people that are really, really good at reading people and picking up on things and telling you, you know, the being able to tell you, I think, what you want to hear and, you know, gets you to give things up as you go.
I mean, I'm going to count that as a no.
Yeah, I'll lean towards no.
Because that's just someone who's perceptive.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I don't think anyone has actual.
That's just like that ability. Whole con man thing where they're like, sure. Oh, like his collar is disheveled, and so he must be this.
Right.
Question number 5: Are you superstitious?
No. No, I run into that a lot too. My wife is very, very big on the knock on wood thing, and I just don't believe there's any way I have that kind of power. That if I say something, it's going to possibly come true just by saying it.
But do you get in trouble for not knocking?
I get in trouble if I tell her she shouldn't. I don't personally get in trouble if I don't feel like I have to do it, but I can't tell her.
Yeah, the whole knock on wood thing, it's as long as someone does it, the person who said it doesn't have to do it, right? Your wife can handle
But any of those things, walking under ladders, I do all the time. And I'm just like, if that motion ruined my life of just going under a ladder, then I'm there's no way I have that kind of power to change my life that quickly.
Did you grow up playing sports at all?
Yeah, definitely.
Like team sports or what kind of sports?
Yeah, baseball, basketball, soccer.
And no superstitions throughout all those?
Well, again, it depends what you define a superstition. I think there's, you know, people get in their head and absolutely there's a good groove and there's a good everyone's on the same wavelength sort of vibe and things are, you know, working well as a team and connecting. And I think you don't, if people need to believe you wear the same jersey and you don't wash it so you can keep in that mindset, then that's fine. I guess I don't consider that the same as like superstitions, like, you know, touching a certain thing as you go out. Like they all touch the doorway going out or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of places do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not things like that.
That's kind of more tradition than superstition, I think.
Yeah. I think, you know, if everyone gets on the same page and they don't want to mess with the vibe of things, then, you know, no one wants to change for fear of losing something, then yeah, if you want to call that superstition, I believe in that.
Not really.
Okay.
I think you're a one. Willie, you think he's a one?
Yeah.
So that is close. Sorry, that's closer to you or to
that's waiter? Closer to me.
Closer to you.
So you're a rational, level headed human being.
I like to think so.
All right, Willie. Hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Is fear the only thing we have to fear? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Wow, these are getting shorter and shorter.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm like, you know what, dude? This is a fun topic to talk about. And my question is really, is fear even real? I think it's a, you know, like, is fear fucking real? Well, I mean, I know that it really affects you or everyone who has
it. Sure.
But I mean, my overall take to start everything off is, I think fear is a leftover evolutionary thing that is actually hindering humanity now. And it doesn't, technology has gone so fast that we've passed evolution in a way that now we shouldn't have technology.
Or we should stop technology where it is while we catch up to it a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
Before it gets ahead of us and just leaves us behind.
Yeah. Which it is very rapidly doing.
Yeah. I mean, everything is AI based and making decisions for us. And pretty soon, there's probably got to be a lot of people in the world right now that are literally just doing everything their phone tells them to.
Take
every suggestion and take everything as, well, that's the video I should watch. That's the thing I should buy, and just giving in.
But fear still has a place in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're going to get jumped, if you're in like a back alley and you're going to get jumped or something, isn't fear a good thing to feel? It's the whole fight or flight sort of thing.
Well, I mean, my take is, I mean, we don't need fear anymore. You can be prepared.
I don't know.
You can be prepared and have a weapon. You can maybe suspect that something might happen, but there's nothing to be afraid of. I think fear kicks your ass.
I'd lean to the like a bigger answer and just say I think fear is the biggest motivator ever, really. I mean, I think fear, I don't like fear in theory. I don't like the idea that we're afraid of things, but I think since the beginning of time, like, fear is the number one. I think everything is fear based, unfortunately.
Well, I think that as we're learning, you know, fear helps kick you in the pants and do stuff, but I think it like can capture some people and grip them. Well, basically, I feel like, and this is me looking around and stuff, you know, there's plenty of articles about the different types of fear, but I like these four types of fear. One of them is like, there's a warning fear, you know, like, that, yeah, what you're talking about. Like, yeah, that maybe be prepared for something down this dark alley or something. Right, could
be prepared, but if you're not prepared.
Oh, but you could be prepared and not be scared.
I don't know. Keep elaborating, because I don't know if I'm grasping what you're.
Well, in that realm, it's like, Let's say you think that there could be something down the alley. Let's say that you think some people are going to jump you. Well, if you had a gun, do you feel like you wouldn't need to be afraid anymore? Because I'm not saying you need to be confident because you have a gun, but like,
I feel like I would still be afraid because you don't know how they're going to jump you. Like, they can surround you, and then what's your gun going
to
do?
You don't really want to use your gun anyway. I mean, unless you're...
No, but I'm saying, though, that fear is what made half those cops pull their guns anyways, because they had fear, and they shouldn't have had fear. They should be prepared for situations.
Sure.
Like, did you think the guy was going to his car to get a gun when you all have guns? You thought he was going to get a knife? Whatever.
Let's not get into the police shooting thing.
You're right. So hold on. We've got warning. I'll just go into them. We've got warning style fear. We've got which you know is obviously an evolutionary thing. Like, kill or be killed. The reason why you don't see predators is because they are all hiding because they might be being hunted. And I'm just like, that style of fear really shouldn't have a place in our society. Sadly, it does, because men are assholes to women. I'm not going to go into that either. Let's not go there. But so there's that kind of fear. So then we also have invitational fear, and Morgan, I think that's what you're thinking of. It's like the fears that make us go forward. It's like, I was afraid to go on stage, but I loved it so much. You know, it's like nervous fear that like almost draws you in more because you're excited for the outcome. And that's a totally
before we move on, like, can we is anxiety fear? Like it is, right? It's fear of the future. So like we're just talking about anxiety when it comes to that stuff, right?
I don't think so, because to me, anxiety is when you drop internal. And anxiety ends up being what if for every situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the warning fear mixed with existential crisis, where it's like what if there is somebody there? What if somebody there? What if somebody there? What if somebody there? And then all the what ifs turn into the reality because your body, basically a panic attack, and I didn't know I was having these my whole life, is you just scare yourself so much, and your body is meant to survive fear. And the way that it survives is fight or flight. And if you need to fight or run, it gives your body a shot of adrenaline. So for anybody having a panic attack, and like, oh, I feel like I'm having a heart attack, it's because you basically are. You got a shot of adrenaline. Your heart is fucking pumping because it's like you need to be running full speed right now or punch the biggest guy in the room.
I don't think that like anxiety is just what if. Like I have anxiety about paying my rent, and that's not a what if scenario. That's if I don't pay my rent, I don't have a home.
I'm saying like it is what if I don't pay my rent? Then I don't have a home. It's a what if situation. What happens if I don't get it? What if it's late? What if the check bounces? What if? And so
and that's different than I forget which fear we're on.
Invitational fear. Like it's like this kind of fear is not like, what if I fuck up on stage? It's like, oh, I'm nervous. Like, I don't know what, but in a good way where it's like, you know, some people like the butterfly. Some people like horror movies. Some people like roller coasters. They like that. To me, butterflies are invitational where it's like, let's do it again.
So you're just excited about something you don't know about. Like you don't know the outcome. So I keep saying anxiety like Wade's saying, but I don't think that's right either. Like it's just an excitement fear.
You're anxious, but you don't have categorized anxiety. But yeah, like a roller coaster, you know, like no matter how many times you go on it, you're going to feel that, oh, fuck, but you go back.
Right.
Whereas you're not going to go back down the alley.
See, that's interesting. I've never considered a roller coaster fear. Like, there's the leading up to the roller coaster, which you can be afraid of. But when you're on the roller coaster, I don't know that I've ever considered that enjoyment as a fear enjoyment.
But I'm just saying,
that's just G-forces and speed, baby.
everybody's ride's different, baby. Like, yeah. I'm deathly afraid on roller coasters. I go on them because I'd rather not talk about why I didn't go on them.
That's fair.
I mean, you're in your 40s. You don't need to still have that conversation.
No, you can't spin anymore. Once you hit 40, you spin around in a circle one time, you're done.
But now
I couldn't spin when I was 20, when I was fucking 16.
In my 40s, I can wait in line with you, and when the ride comes up, just go on the other side. And be like, I'll see you guys when you get back, and no one's gonna say shit.
Yeah.
In your 20s, it's like, dude, what the fuck?
But then my question is, why go?
Yeah.
Oh well, there are some rides that I like, and I like being in the group. I just don't trust the equipment to not fail.
Well, okay, let's take it off of roller coasters and switch it to haunted houses, because that is. Being scared, having things jump out at you, that is fear, right?
I'm out on those. That's not my thing at all.
I don't like them either.
I used to do all of them, man. I love them. favorite.
But I'm just trying to zero in on this on the fear that we're talking about.
No, that one makes more sense to me. That intentional fear. Like you're going into those haunted houses with the idea that fear is fun. And I think that sounds like kind of what you're
that
saying,
sounds
Willie.
More like that invitational fear.
Yeah,
right?
I want to be scared because it gets my adrenaline going and it gets me that high. And that
I've never
not,
considered
not
going on
me.
Stage any kind of invitational fear. I don't enjoy any part of that.
Well, my thing is all of these definitions for everyone are so blurred because every moment is different. You know, like I do stand up and I'll be afraid on stage, but I also don't give a shit. And I'm like, I do enjoy it. But I also, like the last time I hosted Channel 101 on the internet, like there was a moment where I took a pregnant pause because I froze up and I was like, what the fuck am I going to say? And then like, I was like, oh yeah, just get out of your head. Who fucking cares? You know, but it weirded me out that I froze up. I'm like, what? Why did I freak out?
And so which fear would that be?
That was probably, well, we haven't gotten through the other two yet, but I would say that was, I probably started talking and then got afraid that I was saying stupid shit. So that would be the one we haven't, one of them we haven't gone into, which is ego fear. That being the fears that are associated with, you know, yeah, your ego, like.
You don't want to look dumb.
You don't want to look dumb.
Yeah, that's my main one for sure.
Like that one's a huge actual fear that has nothing to do with ghosts. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
Yeah. It's also entirely self-imposed. It is probably the most worthless fear.
It's embarrassment.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd agree with that.
And so that fear can be more gripping for some people because it's like, well.
Crippling?
Crippling, thank you. Gripling is a new take on.
Gripling is this new author that you guys should read, Joseph Gripling. But here's the thing: when it comes to me and the ego fear, it's because I didn't grow up cool. I grew up constantly getting picked on and stuff, and so it's like bred this lifelong like you cannot fuck up in any way, or everyone's gonna hate you.
Yeah.
Everyone will point out your flaws if you don't hide them.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like I'm in that same boat still where it's like I'll wear the brightest colors, but I don't want anybody to look at me. Like I'll be on a plane of everyone wearing black and I come out with loud clothes. I'm like, oh fuck, don't look at me. Shit. I'm like, oh, what am I wearing?
But that's my main thing with stage fright. It's like, I'm not necessarily afraid of performing in front of people. I'm afraid of fucking up and them judging me.
Yeah. Especially when you spend your whole life like finessing the flavor of comedy that you like, and then there's a whole audience of people that have their own shit. It's like, oh man.
Well, not to mention that now we live in an era where if you fuck up and somebody films it, the entire world can see it.
Yeah, dude.
And then you're just like done. Mm-hmm. You become a fucking meme. I mean, and then your life is over.
What happens if you suicide? Get blackout drunk and you don't remember saying the most offensive thing in the world? What then?
Oh, that's happened to me. That's fine. No one cares about that. As long as no one filmed it, it's fine.
I know. Like, oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember you said this, Wade, but.
Listen. That's most of my 20s, a lot of my 30s was just that conversation over and over again.
I don't think I've ever told you anything that. Because I'm like, well, whatever. In that same realm where I'm like, I know you don't, whatever. I've been there a couple times.
What's the last one?
Giving people the pass.
I would never, dude, I never talk about how drunk anyone was the next, because like, what, you're just lording over them that you weren't as drunk. It just doesn't make any sense to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do remember, this was very embarrassing when, we were leaving the Channies going to Lion's Place and I was driving. And as they gave me my keys, I just puked all over the ground and I still expected to drive.
Who stopped you?
Michelle.
Yeah. The Channies are an interesting time. I left one back when it was at, CineSpace. Couldn't think of what it was called.
Yeah.
And, got to my car, realized how incredibly drunk I was, and I was like, well, shit, I can't drive. And the next thing I remember is waking up at about 7 a.m. in the parking lot in my car, and just one of those, you know, $10 parking lots in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Passed out there, I guess, and just woke up the next morning. You're like, that was probably not the smartest thing to do.
Oh, man. I've been.
Well, it was better than driving, right? And mm-hmm. and that was an era where you couldn't just lift. That was like previous to any sort of. I did that. I was leaving my friend's place and I was just like, oh, I got way drunker than I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. And I slept in my car and then cops woke me up. And I like opened my door because I was super nervous about like starting my car because that means I would have to put my keys in my car. I've always heard that's a gotcha. Like if you're drunk and you put your keys in the ignition, then they can get you for DUI. Open my door and they're like, hey man, what are you doing? And I'm like, I drank too much. I'm sleeping it off. And they go, well, the neighbors don't want you here.
Oh gosh.
And I go, well, what do you want me to do? Because I have zero options here. And they're like, just drive down the block and park somewhere else.
Oh, that's great, and I'm like, man.
Well, it's great, but I didn't trust them at all. So I was like, okay. Oh, and then I waited for them to like be gone for like 5 minutes before I started my car. But I had sobered up in the time that I had passed out, so I just ended up driving home.
Oh my God, like, dude, that was a trap, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they wanted to deal with me. They didn't seem like super into me at all. Like,
they probably just got calls from the neighbors and complaints or something.
Yeah, and they're like, fuck it, we have to go. They don't really want to.
Yeah.
The last one is trauma fear.
Oh, well, so my ego fear is tied to my trauma fear.
Yeah, it sounds like fear with a reasonable reason to have it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I almost drowned once. And this was before fourth grade. So when we took the fourth grade swim test, I couldn't jump off the diving board with the life jacket. And I ended up, the guy was a dick, man. And he was yelling at me. And I was sitting on the diving board crying as the whole class was like getting ready to leave. They all walked past me and he was like, you're not leaving until you jump off the diving board.
Damn.
And I didn't fucking do it. And here I am crying in front of the whole school. And I'm like, I was more afraid of dying.
Morgan, have you almost drowned?
No, I don't think so. I mean, definitely probably had those bad, you know, pool moments where you get a little panicked and you get sort of trapped underwater or something, but I probably haven't really gotten that close to drowning. Just more that fear that kicks in when, you know, you get stuck under a bunch of people or, you know, people screwing around in a pool. But I probably haven't like taken in a lot of water.
When you grew up in LA, did you not go to the ocean and get tossed around by the waves?
Not much. I wasn't much of a beach kid for being out here. It's crazy, like, not to segue that conversation, but it's crazy right now. We're doing like survival swim training with our baby.
Oh gosh, we haven't done it yet. We missed the boat. I mean, didn't miss the boat, but
it's insane. It's scary as hell at first, but then it's starts being amazing.
I don't
amazing.
Know what this is. Is it's this just, where you throw a baby in the water?
You don't throw the baby in water. That's the big controversial topic. But no, they do. They you know, they'll take them from, you know, right on the edge of the pool and just like drop them in. And obviously after they've practiced and learned with them, but yeah, they learn to basically just flip over and float on their back, and they can float. Like the final test for the training he just did was 3 minutes of just straight floating on his back.
Yeah, dude, it's a lifesaver.
Crying loud enough for you know, someone to hear him. And it's nerve-wracking.
They start it by you have to blow in their face so that they hold their breath, and then you just hold them underwater.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't. Oh, my wife was at most of the lessons, so I didn't see a lot of it. I only went to a couple of them, but like, I, you know, she obviously filmed a lot of them, and I watched them. But yeah, they're crazy. But at the same time, I feel so much better now because we have a pool right out our apartment back door. There's a pool with no gate or anything, and you know, you're kind of torn in a terrible way now because I'm kind of like, you know, let's see him fall in. Let's see what he can handle himself now. Like obviously not, but you know, once you've developed a skill and you see someone's really good at it, you want to see him put it to use sometimes. So
yeah.
How have they not had to build a fence around that? Is that like just,
I don't know. It would be a terrible pool if it was, and our backyard, our like apartment area would be horrible. So I don't want to encourage it. It probably
No, yeah, I get it. I've lived in a place like that too. I'm just wondering like how they've gotten away with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I don't think they can based on the perimeter around the pool. So and if you really pushed them, they'd probably have to fill it in and get rid of it. Like, I just don't think there's basically just a walkway around it that if you put a fence up, you'd be like limiting any access through the courtyard. So, but it's great. I mean, I think if it had a fence, we'd never use it. So,
it's so much nicer. I've got a lot of water trauma. I almost drowned at a water park.
Oh yeah, I hate those.
I feel like I've told this story before, but like it was one of these like really boring rides where you're just kind of like in a tube and you go from like one plateau onto the next, and it's like a slow, not even like a fun ride. But then the bottom got like really bottlenecked. And so when you got to the bottom, it was just filled with people like sort of waiting to get out of this giant pool. My tube flipped over on that last one, and I could not get up because like there were people everywhere. And so I just kept getting pushed back down. And I don't swim with my eyes open because I'm like afraid of chlorine and shit like this, shit like that. And this is when I'm in like, I don't know, fifth grade or something. And I ended up just like banging my head on the wall, like the end wall. And some lifeguard saw me and like lifted me out at that point.
Jeez.
And it was just like, holy shit. Like I don't like water anyway. Like I don't like the feeling of being in water. Like there's nothing about it that I like. It's like, I fucking hate it. And so I just don't go in water anymore.
I have a lot of fun in water, but I'm the whole time I'm like, don't come near me. You know, like the last time we went down to San Diego for just fun, like somebody jumped on my back while I was in the water as a joke. And like, I'm like, dude, I can't handle that. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't handle that joke. Like I'll die from that.
To be honest, I also have a lot of ego fear when it comes to it because I just don't want to take my shirt off and get ridiculed for my fat, lumpy body.
Yeah, I mean, I went through that forever growing up, too. Yeah, I mean, feeling super skinny. I was a really, really skinny kid, but definitely didn't like taking my shirt off at pools, water parks. That's so weird.
That's so weird. I've never thought to make fun of someone for being skinny. Like my whole life. I don't think that was a
thing.
You were
nicer than people in my area. I mean, I don't think anyone was really making fun of me, but I think, you know, it's that ego thing. It's just they point it out enough and you're like, well, it's not ideal. Like,
right.
You know, if it's different, it's not.
I'm not an Adonis. Not the normal.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I mean, they're not wrong. I was incredibly skinny. I'm a very scrawny kid growing up.
Kids are always the strongest, though. Those are the ones that can do like 13 pull-ups in middle school.
Yeah, maybe I was not pull-ups weren't my thing. Pull-ups weren't my thing. That's for sure. No, not a lot of arm strength. No.
So Willie, you think that a lot of these are debilitating. Like as we go through them and talk about them, I think you're right that like we would be better off without a lot of these, but not the most instinctual one, which is just like the fear of danger, like the fear of dying.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like so here's my problem with that issue with that is that I don't think as a technologically advanced society, I don't think we actually, the only people that are getting afraid are like making it worse for humanity.
That's true. I guess my question to you,
you know, like picture military. We'll go on.
Yeah. Well, this is why do you think because of technology we shouldn't be scared anymore? Like I'm not getting that connection.
To me, it's that evolution jumps so much that it's not survival of the fittest because everyone survives. It's not.
But everyone does. I mean, everybody doesn't survive. Still, like nothing's changed really. No, I mean, we don't starve to death and we don't have shelter, but we
like,
all still
like remember. Did you watch Wally?
Yeah.
Like Wally's a great example where it's like, yeah, dude, fucking, we all just have this lazy technology that is like, helping us to become more lazy, which is fine, but I'm just saying, like, nobody's doing anything to survive better. And so sure. Fear would help us survive better. But now that it doesn't actually help us survive, it's actually hindering us.
You mean like fear as instinct to avoid danger and to find shelter and all
so when I picture aliens, this is a projection, but that aren't afraid, and I picture intelligent races that have lived for millions of years, if that's even possible, like there's no way they have the fear. It's like, oh, these guys are assholes. Like, we either avoid them or we kill them. There's no fear.
So you think of aliens more like the traditional sci-fi movie aliens. They're like hive mind, evolved race, kind of all on the same page, all sort of have bypassed all the wants of the human condition. Well,
I think all types of aliens I can think of exist out there. So I think, yeah, those ones exist out there too. Yeah.
That's
fair. That like kind of look at us and they don't nod their head or raise their nose at us. They're just like, well, fuck, man, these, you know, like picture the most violent.
Hang on. In your made up alien races, they don't have fear.
I don't think a lot of them do.
But they're made up, though, and so you're just saying that, like,
But from all the stories that of all the stories that I have seen or heard people talk about, all the encounters that I have, I've never remembered going like, oh fuck, that alien was scared. Not that we could even perceive that, but I'm just like,
always have the power in all of those situations.
Mm.
But you know, like picture in Fire in the Sky where he wakes up and they find, and like, you know, like they see him outside of his, where they were keeping him. Well, whatever. I know that in a lot of situations where people wake up where they're not supposed to. I know that that's still a situation of control. I'm just saying, like, I haven't seen an alien scare.
It's a script. It was written.
I think I could fall into that too, of it being written by the government that's making these entities do these things to people. Yes, the script.
So, Fire in the Sky is a documentary to you?
It's closer to a documentary than a fantastical event. I know that some of the events,
you just keep getting crazier, man.
But when, you know,
you don't think that the alien from Alien Autopsy was scared when they like captured him and cut him open and stuff? Whatever, Area 51, all that shit. I'm playing by your rules now.
Okay. I feel like an animal without fear is possible, and it's like, well, fuck, they're dissecting me, you know, like,
well,
nothing to be afraid of. It's like you're just realizing the fact.
I mean, Alf was like a really neurotic alien. Like he definitely had fears, right?
Yeah, he was afraid.
All right, why don't we
I was trying to think of something about Melmac, but whatever.
I don't know enough about. I know that he's from Melmac and that he eats cats, and that's all I know about Alf.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. Oh, no, let's keep talking about Alf.
Well, no, I was going to say, it came up in conversation the other night, and I probably watched Alf every time it was on, and I could not remember anything about that show except for what you just said. Like,
the crazy thing
to show you what a great show it was.
Eats cats and probably got into mischief, but I'm like, I couldn't tell you even one episode plot line.
The final episode, though, he basically gets captured at gunpoint by the government, and then the series got canceled.
I do remember that, actually.
So it got canceled?
This is like backfiring on me, because I'm sure he was just making jokes the whole time. He was probably never afraid. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We're talking about fear with our good friend Morgan Locke.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents
a normal family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We are here talking to our good friend Morgan Locke about fear. Is it necessary?
My biggest thing that I'm trying to say is I think it's healthy to question everything and not accept anything. When I say fear, I mean specifically, you know, like fear of your government, like fear evolved along with us to protect organisms against a perceived threat to their either integrity or their existence. So it's like, at some point, fear doesn't evolve. I feel like we evolve and the fear stays the same, and it turned into our existential anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like questioning ourselves ultimately probably is a good thing for existence, you know, but it doesn't help the society if everyone's on a different page and there's actually one type of something trying to be in charge, you know, like society would be so much easier if we all had the same religion. That'll never happen. So just, you know, we say we have, I don't mean to go off on tangents on this, you know, but it's like we, you know, shit. I mean,
I think what you're trying to say is that currently fear is sort of decimating our nation.
Yeah.
Because the two sides fear each other and they mm-hmm. just read all this hyperbole about how like the world's going to end if one of them takes control, and like, not to put words in your mouth, but
yeah,
is that kind of like what you're alluding to?
That's what I'm leaning into, in that like people are, listen, when you talk to people who have those strong beliefs, they actually are afraid. It's not like they watched a couple news reports and they drank the Kool-Aid. It is like they are the equivalent of the news reports. I'm saying that, like, I mean, brainwash is a hard word, but like we're so polarized that like you can't have a conversation mm-hmm. with the opposite anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who shows up to a protest is inspired by fear. Anyone who shows up to a counter protest is inspired by fear. It's all like those people don't do that just because they're on a different side of the aisle than the other people. They do it because they legitimately believe that like
the
other side is a threat to the country or mm-hmm. whatever, and their way of living, right? So it's like, yeah. I get that.
And my biggest thing is that we're also afraid. I think what we're afraid of is actually having to convince somebody of something else, because nobody can.
You know? Not at this point.
Like I hate to say it, man. I've given up on
No, I understand. I'm 100% with you.
Fuck, man. It's very depressing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've leaned more into the, like, let's fix the future and just, like, let the past just die out to an extent.
So that's the thing. Like, is the solution apathy? Because that's not...
Not apathy.
Progressive.
Proactive change for the future. Fixing the people that can... Not fix isn't the right word, but, you know, changing the people that can be changed. The younger generations that, you know, arguing with the 80-year-old people that are set in their ways, is that's not worth your time.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, you're going to have to just let those people believe what they believe and, you know, work on the future. That's my opinion. I mean, everyone's got, is going to approach it their own way.
Politics, religion, your belief in what a society should be. These are all so personal that like we have accepted not talking about them. You know, how many times have you seen it in a bar or in a movie where it's like, we don't talk politics, religion, leave that at the door.
That I understand on the microcosm, but that's also a saying from that predates this world where everything is fucking political now.
Well, no one just talks those things either. They argue those things. It's immediately like it's an instant fight. It's not like just an actual conversation about politics. Exactly. Or religion,
it's always
anything.
A confrontation.
Yeah.
But what I don't think most people realize is that, well, and I don't know. I'm, you know, sure, I'm always making shit up, you know, whatever. But basically, I feel like a lot of people get to that point because they're actually without being too conscious of it. What if you're afraid that you're actually wrong? You know,
I think going back to what my original thought on fear was, just that everything is motivated by fear. I think. Everything you do because you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to. Everyone has gone down a road of believing one thing, and if you're wrong, then, you know, maybe you've wasted your entire life committed to a religion or committed to a way of thinking that's wrong. And then
see, but the more we talk about this,
how guilty do you feel?
The more I think that apathy is the answer, right? Because if you just don't care, then you can't be afraid, right?
Well, the best part about that argument is you can actually have a conversation if nobody cared.
Yeah. But at the same time, you also don't really have an important conversation because no one cares.
But nothing
kind of comes out of that conversation. But if
one person cares about something that nobody else does, same situation. And that's what we're going to be in forever is,
So I guess I understand your thesis now about fear being bad. The problem is fear, if there's a stock market, fear is like the fucking... It's making the most money right now because everybody just wants to be enraged all the time.
It shaped social media. It shaped the news environments.
News for sure, yeah. I mean, if you're not reporting on a dangerous situation or a bad thing, no, like there's never been good news. Never been news that's not talking about floods or hurricanes.
The heartwarming stories are too far and few between. They're from like local stations that and you can tell that they're like politically charged.
But would you at the same time
should, wait, I mean, that's, I think that's you should move what, your mic back
words
I mean there, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying news is always fear-based. I think like that's the things that they kind of, it's obviously escalated and I think it's become, you know, very divisive and stuff. But at a certain point in the beginning, that's what news should have been. Someone should have been telling you the flood is coming and you should move, you know, like that's news should have been fear-based.
Right. The thing with news was it was like, hey, watch out for this. And then it just got really sensationalized where like in LA, they're calling stuff Carmageddon. And it's come on. It's a traffic jam.
They've made news 24 hours a day and you got to fill it with something.
And Carmageddon scared everyone into it not happening, which was amazing. I don't know if you drove around on any of those days. The freeways were empty. They scared everybody.
I hope they did. Yeah.
Well, my thing is just that, like, so what I'm getting at is, you know, it's easy to just say the answer is education, but
hang on. How is it easy to say that the answer to fear is education?
Oh, no, I'm saying that the answer to, yeah, I know. See, right. I'm always 10 steps ahead without explaining myself along the way. Whoa.
Oh. Yeah.
my thought is that we in America as a society, we tend to take a step back from our emotions. And the crazy thing about memory, anything that you learn, when you learn to do something, your brain, the first time you do something, attaches an emotion to you doing it for the first time. And for some people that, you know, fear is always tapped in there. Like, oh, fuck, you know, like fear is tapped into too many things. So a lot of memories are associated with fear. And I only bring that up because we don't talk about our emotions. And so, like, if we want to, you know, squelch some fear, like, it comes from us educating, communicating to at a young age. And, instead of being afraid of something, voice your opinion about it and have a conversation about it. I know it's easy. That's why I say it's easy to just like, here's the answer.
Yeah, it's hard to follow through with that as often as you have to make a difference.
Luckily, our quiet dads are part of a generation of quiet dads that are quietly going away. But, you know, ultimately, I'm still a quiet dad. That's just a stereotype of dads don't talk about their emotions. And I'm like, yeah, I think about all the times that I actually didn't speak up about. I grew up not. I'll handle it in my head, man. Don't fucking ask me about my. I don't need to be aggressive about it. It's just like.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
But I also have anxiety and I have a lot of fears, and it's like, don't let me. Please don't quote me, but don't let me lead you into anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess at this point, it's been raised to such a, this topic has been raised to the extent of like how to fix society based on fear. And I don't know that us three, as genius as we are, I don't know that we have the solutions for that.
Fixing society? No.
I know. And I'm like, what am I saying? Mountain Dew your fears at a young age as a society? That's not the answer.
But you're right. I mean, it is education. It is just at least knowing about what you're afraid of. And knowing if there's a real reason to be afraid of it, obviously is going to help a lot with, you know, conquering fears and stuff, you know, even if it's just basic ones growing up when you're like fear of the dark or fear of monsters under the bed or something. You know, if you take the time to look at it and, you know, try to figure out why you're afraid of it, you can get over those. So
I know.
And I guess you can carry that concept to racism, anything bigger where you're like, let's just get to know what you think you're afraid of. Which should hopefully help.
Yeah, I agree. I like where you took that. And I'm like, I'm just so stuck in my head about existential shit. All those fears of like, what the fuck is going on? But I also keep saying it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, I'll keep quoting myself, quoting someone else that, you know, it doesn't matter. The cocoon's life didn't affect the fact that it turned into a butterfly, the cat, you know, fucking scared ass caterpillar running around still turns into a butterfly.
You don't know that. That butterfly could have some weird anxiety that was bred from being a caterpillar.
They couldn't make enough of a shell with their chitin because they for fucking thin hair, basically.
Yeah, they're afraid of being an ugly butterfly. You know, you don't know.
Yeah, they're still getting mocked by other butterflies. We just think they're all beautiful, but they have their own
inner species
butterfly problems.
Oh, butterflies are actually assholes. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Most animals are.
But the whole thing about all of this and like, oh yeah, maybe we take it back and like talk about our feelings and stuff like that. Like it's completely rendered moot by the internet. Because like kids now grow up getting cyberbullied. Suicide rates are like way up, you know, like everything is more awful now because of the internet. Like the internet is the worst thing that we've done.
That's probably true.
It's great because you can look shit up, but every other thing they should render.
No one
the
does. We still have arguments because people don't look things up. That's always my argument. Like, why are we even having an argument? Like the answers are all right here. Why has no one looked this up yet? Why are we fighting about something dumb? Like the things you should use it for, we don't, and then we just use it to like share opinions.
Well, but I mean, like, do you guys think that like the internet as a concept still has hope? Like I'm under the idea that there's some way that we can unlock it to actually help us connect better. You know, Facebook is that shitty idea where it's like, oh, you can see my photos.
Honestly, I don't think we should be this connected. I don't think connecting is the answer. I think like we come from tribes. We come from like nomadic tribes. We were not supposed to know every single fucking other person on the planet. We were supposed to just be like little subcultures that coexisted. And now that everything is like one big thing, we'll never be able to coexist because it's not possible with all of these different opinions. I mean, try to figure out a place to go to lunch with 20 people. It'll never happen.
That's hilarious.
That is very true.
And I think about small communities like trading goods between each other, but it's like everyone already has the jerk off cream they need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what you have over there, but I got what I need. Like we've been so accustomed to getting everything that we want at all times that what I don't want is anybody else to interfere with me getting in the way of what I want.
That's very understandable. I mean, I think that's I stay off, not to say I stay off social media. I just don't do it because I think I don't have anything to share. Like, I don't want to put, not that I'm afraid of my privacy or anything, but I don't care if anyone knows all the things I'm into. I don't care if everyone knows what I did. And I just don't, I just don't judge my self-worth on that. And I think a lot of people do, especially younger people now. Like, you put everything up there because it's going to get a reaction, positive or negative, and then you're going to make that your self-worth and you're...
Oh, you so like you like Superman also? You like all of the superheroes also? me too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's definitely going to make friends and you're going to find connections and it's going to open up. It's easier to share, I guess, than sharing in person. It's easier to put yourself out there digitally.
It's much easier to find your weird kink that you thought only you had.
Absolutely. So there's those benefits. I'll give you that. That it is.
There are those benefits, but then on the grand scheme.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm with you, Morgan. Like I'm on all these things. I think the last Instagram picture I posted was, I mean, I'll go like 6 months in between like posting shit. I don't even do the story thing. But that's like on an individual level, pick and choose like what you want your mental health to be, right? The problem is on the grand scheme where it's like Republicans believing like Russian bots and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, oh, Russia has decided that we're their enemy and they're going to fuck us up and they're going to use fucking memes to do it. And it's like, this is horrible.
I've interacted with the Russian bot. I'm sure everybody has. and it's weird. It's very... Yeah.
I mean, there's been bots all over the internet since it started. Everyone wanted to make, you know, manipulate it or make up fake things or...
Not to mention that it's completely anonymous. And so, like, when someone says that they're black or that they're Antifa or that they're whatever, like, whatever they say they are, like, you don't know that that's what they are. And they could just be, like, propagating some other lie. So it's like, the internet is fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we should fear the internet. I think fear is good and we should fear the internet.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, I don't know your perspective.
I'll say we should question the internet. You know, my aunt was so afraid of the internet that she didn't allow her boys to get on the internet while they were in high school. Mm-hmm. So here they are in high school 20 years ago, not being allowed on the internet. And I was just like, dude, you guys must be fucked because they teach school on the internet.
Yeah. Well, what's your perspective with your kid? Like, when you,
well,
what is his internet interaction?
We're going to, you know, it's fucked, dude. My perspective is, God damn it. I like, even the kids' internet is controlled in a weird, lame way. And I say kids' internet, I mean, kids' YouTube is like a bullshit place. It's fucking.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know how they allow that and consider it not as mindless as boobs. Like, I'm so torn by, they're all just making their money. Hey, this is a safe place for kids. No comments. I'm like, oh, no, nothing to learn either.
Right.
Not that, well, whatever. I'll show you some stuff that makes you stupider.
I've seen plenty.
I'm like, we're definitely going to homeschool him, in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The internet, we just kind of have to teach it to them the way that you would uncomfortably teach about sex, because it's like you can search pants on Google and end up with a dick, just a raw dick on your internet.
Probably pretty quick, actually.
Pants.
Most of my porn history searches are just pants.
And so So it's, you know, fuck, man.
What is the plan? Like, when he gets old enough that he's using the internet, do you limit him? Do you let him sign up for social media? Do you, like, is there an age where you go, okay, now you can sign up for social media?
Well, you know, I just think we just have to play it by ear. The plan right now is limit screen time, limit, accessibility, because what's weird is for a while we're sharing YouTube history, so it's like there'll be a conspiracy theory video that pops up that he could choose, like he can swipe and choose screens, and he's really fucking smart. So it's all there. Everything I've watched is there for him. I'm like, don't watch this,
right? Yeah, that's, I haven't gotten there yet. Right. We show Gavin what we want to show him. And that's, you know, we have control, but as soon as he has control, I don't know. Yeah, that's scary.
So I try to look at, you know, we're in speech therapy. We have these websites that we can go to that are supposedly for, you know, there's a lot of learning sites out there. Those are the cheapest sites you'll ever run into. I'm like, I don't think anybody put any money into these. Yeah. But there's still value in how you're trying to teach somebody. And so it's interesting to see how to teach someone with a website, because whatever. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but
I'm just thinking back to your subject, and it was, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And like, I'm on board with that. Like, I think that, like, if people took a step back and said, like, what am I actually afraid of here? Like, what's happening? Then maybe they wouldn't be afraid anymore, you know? And it's the, It's the salaciousness of it that they're gravitating toward.
I mean, the best thing to do is to take, you know, if you're sending a work email, I re-edit it and take out all the emotion, because there should be no emotion in a work email. And when I picture situations where I'm getting too mad at home or whatever, I'm like, I try to take a step back and watch myself, because it's easy to get heated when you're not embarrassed by yourself. So it's like,
it's easy to get heated when you're not embarrassed by yourself.
Yeah. Like I can get mad, but as soon as I know that I'm mad, I'm like, oh fuck, I shouldn't be mad.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing of like, sending an email and then immediately regretting mm-hmm. it the next day or something like that.
And, you know, you raise your voice for a second with your family, and that's weird too. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you gotta, I'm learning more than.
But that's agitation. That's not fear.
Well, but I come from a family of abuse, and I'm afraid of abusing.
All right. Well, you're high-roading me with that statement, because that still has nothing to do with fear, as far as I know. Or did we drop into therapy time, and this isn't about fear anymore?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, though, I guess for me, when I try to envision the best alien species that ever existed in the universe.
So what is it? Okay, first of all, let me stop you. Envision the best human race. Why make it aliens? Envision us the best that we can be.
Because I can't envision us. I can't get us there yet. How do we? This is why I say this. Like, how do we?
You don't have to know.
Fear?
You don't have to. Do you don't have to have a plan to get us there. You just have to say, what is the best human?
So you're saying we'd have to regress and start over to get closer to your vision of the best species.
This is why I love Canadians so much. This is why I always give them props.
Listen, don't get me started on Canadians. Those motherfuckers, they're skirting by on this thing that they're the most polite. They are not. They're just like us. They just have this they have this weird mythological. I'm not letting Canadians off the hook here.
I'm telling you, dude. My hero of today, in the realm of all things conspiracy, is Paul Hellyer, and he was a Canadian engineer. He was he used to be whatever the head of Canada was.
The prime minister.
And he,
I think so little about Canada. I don't even know what their head guy is called.
He's a fucking hero, dude.
Do you want to?
He is in the realm of trying to disclose alien information and secret government information that's fucking America. To me, Canadians.
Hang on. I didn't mean to start a Canadian debate. I really do want to know. And I'm telling you, Canadians are getting off easy. You can't let Canadians off easy. They'll fucking rub their healthcare in your face at the drop of a hat. That's their favorite thing to do. It's like, dude, fuck off. All I'm asking is, what is your ideal aliens, that thing about to say? I just want you to say that about humans.
I mean, ultimately, it's
also what, hang on, before while you collect your thoughts, Morgan.
Yeah.
Same question. Get your answer ready, because this is the last question, and then we're gonna end the episode.
So. Sorry, one more time. The ideal humanity.
Yeah. Okay. I guess. Yeah.
So, all right. As lame as this sounds, this is what helped spawn the creation of this podcast was basically I always wanted to be able to just talk about anything without getting upset about everything, no matter what your beliefs are. And, mm-hmm. and that's always been a great thing for us, Wade, to have hugely different beliefs. And we can still shoot the shit about shit that both of us hate from different perspectives.
We've gotten into some fights.
Yeah, we have, but I'm like, I can't have most of these conversations with most of my family because that's just how it is. Polarized, politicized, Christian beliefs, whatever. Conversations out the window, because then all of a sudden I'm getting taught a lesson about how I'm wrong. And so the ideal human race is we're so fucking smart that if we just listen to each other, we'd all be fine. We don't need to be right, but somebody out there has the right answer. That's
I get that. That would be a great world where you are open to listening regardless of your point of view. Because I think that's a big part of the problem is nobody listens. Nobody looks at the other side.
Yeah.
They just believe what they believe. Okay, Morgan. I haven't given you very much time.
No, that's fair. I'm going to go the opposite direction, I think. Not in a terrible way, but I think I'm going to go...
Interesting.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not putting this very well. I think this might be the best state of humanity. Obviously, that's not totally true. But in regards to fear driving us, I think, you know, obviously get rid of the unwarranted fears of racism or whatever, thinking that someone just because of whatever, you know, race is a bad person, that's obviously should go away. But I think competitive fear to an extent, wanting to be better than other people on a moral basis, maybe on a creative basis, on a, you know,
like the space race, for example.
Sure, exactly. Like, I think that's, we need all those driving features. And I think if we kind of drifted towards this, you know, Willie's view of this fearless alien race that starts becoming very bland and very uniform. And I think the idea that you want to one up somebody creatively, or you want to one up somebody, you know, athletically or something, I think that fear that, you know, you're getting pushed, I think makes us, has shaped humanity and has made us the eclectic versions we are. I mean, I think unwarranted fears are crap. Obviously we should get rid of those, but I don't know. I think if there's no driving pressure, then we don't do anything. And I think we get real boring and we start having a, bland, uniform, homogeneous sort of humanity. Which, yeah, like, it's peaceful.
Everyone come get your toast, and then we'll have lunch in a little bit. Come get everyone, collect your toast.
And then lunch is going to be more toast.
Well, who doesn't like toast? It's all right.
All right. I've got the answer for the perfect.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Number one, the internet only exists to look up facts.
Love it.
Number two, legalize it, baby. Everyone needs to toke up more. Man, you guys all got to chill out. And that's it, man. And then just like, I don't even smoke weed, but if there was a mandate where I had to like eat an edible once a day to just like keep me calm, I would be down.
Yeah. You know, the reason why I don't smoke and eat as much is because it's still looked down upon, you know. I don't want to get caught high.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as booze, right? Like, you don't want to be drunk, like, at work or something.
Yeah, but, you know, you look into the film industry and they were drunk for decades.
Oh, I'm drunk anytime I do anything. I just don't tell people. I mean, they were, but also, like, if you're talking about, like, comedy and SNL and shit, they were also, like, on fucking coke. And
yeah, man, sure. Yeah. It's on par.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, I'm a libertarian, so I think legalize all drugs.
Sure.
Tax them, fucking let the chips lay where they may.
Dude, we're fucking broke. Fucking tax weed and we will have the stimulus package.
I'm not that up on it. Are we not taxing it? I don't even know where it's legal.
Where it's legal, it's totally taxed. And it's like, I think it's, well, it depends on which kind of internet you read, but like it either goes to like a lot of education or it's totally wasted and
lying in government pockets. Fraud.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's all we have to say about fear. Morgan, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
We're going to continue the conversation on our bonus episode. If you want to listen to it, just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And, do you have any plugs? Do you guys want to plug anything?
No, nothing I got to plug.
Willy Bad Movies on Instagram.
All right, here's the thing. I'm going to plug my now defunct. Here's the thing. I was trying to do food reviews and like a weird solo podcast where I just talked about what was on the top of my mind while I cooked. And I've kind of given up on it, but I don't want to give up on it. So go to patreon.com/WadeRandolph. Subscribe to that. You can listen to the podcast that's out there for free. And if it's something that you enjoy, subscribe. And then if I get enough subscribers, I think I'll start it up again. But in the meantime, I'm just kind of like, this is a dead endeavor. And if it rises from the grave, great. And if not, also great, because that's less work for me.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.